offering a humble pranams at Bhagavan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Regular listeners of our program will know that we follow the 1990 Samukos series as part of this program. And it is really very gratifying for us that we've come to the last episode in that series. And as always, I have with me Brother Sai Prakash, who's going to co-host this show. But as we had the pleasure last week and the week before that, we also have with us Praveena sir from the school. So before I get into the introductory comments, I invite both of them to join us on this program. Sairam sir, Sairam sir Prakash.
Thank you.
Sairam Prem.
And I was just saying that, you know, when you look back at the discourses we've gone through, especially in this series, there is so much we have learnt, but it also gives us the feeling that there is so much we have missed out in between.
True, very true. Because when you are saying that we have come to the last discourse in this series,
last episode,
last discourse in this series,
discourse.
It's really unbelievable because this series has been running for 1 year, sir. In this series, we I think we started it
more than a year. I think
more than
in April last year.
Okay.
And these are just 16 discourses of Bhagwan, which we have been able to discuss over every Thursday for the last 1 year.
Okay.
And there is really so much content in just these 16 discourses. What to talk of the 1600 discourses that Swami has given.
Yes.
And it's truly befitting that the Swami started by speaking about Indian culture and spirituality. As a culmination of that, Swami is talking about the Vedas.
Yes.
And I don't know, I think the first Samukos when Swami started the first ever Samukos in 72 or 73.
Yes.
And Swami said it has to be on Indian culture and spirituality.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When the elders asked Swami what should be the theme, Swami's spontaneous answer was it should be on Vedas and Vedic wisdom.
Yes.
Okay.
Because that is the essence of Indian culture.
Mm-hmm.
And a Samukos on Indian culture should be on the Vedas.
Correct. And so much of knowledge is contained in it.
Correct, correct.
Yes. Whatever we can think of, everything is contained actually in this Vedas.
Mm.
So it obviously means that everybody has to at least make little attempt to know the Vedic wisdom and how to chant Vedas, Vedic mantras, etc., which is highly beneficial.
Correct. Last week, sir, had given some, the week before that, I think you gave such wonderful examples of how even during the Bhopal gas tragedy,
some of the Agnihotris were protected.
Yeah.
So generally a question which would often come is, did all these Veda Samhitas, did they come before the knowledge of Sanskrit or did they come after the knowledge and the usage of Sanskrit started?
Before the knowledge of Sanskrit.
So that
Sanskrit,
itself...
Sanskrit came much later.
The usage of the language
That's
Sanskrit.
Why, yes. Vedas were initially passed on from one generation to the next generation only by memory.
Right.
There was no written script at all. As I said, initially it was written in one language called Ninanya.
Okay.
But later on, for some reason, it got disappeared. But afterwards, again, the Sanskrit language came. Then a very close language that linking Sanskrit to one of the South Indian language, Malayalam, which named Manipravalam, that came into existence.
Okay.
So that actually linked these two important languages. That's why even today we find most of the sounds that are available in Sanskrit, available in Vedic Sanskrit, is also available in Malayalam. So that's how the link is this way.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sanskrit language actually came much after the all these Vedic wisdom passed on only by memory. That's why they are called Shrutis. Shrutva, only by hearing they were passed on to from one generation to the next generation.
So that also kind of explains why we tend to misunderstand the meaning of some of these Vedic mantras.
Exactly. It's not misunderstanding. It is actually, nobody is able to comprehend exactly what it means. See, so many people have written commentaries, especially the Veda Bhashya by
Shankara.
Veda Bhashya, that he has written Veda Bhashya, more than that, he has written Bhashya on the Vedantas, Upanishads.
Brahma Sutras.
Especially the Dashopanishads. That's why it became very famous. But the Veda, Bhashya, commentary and even translation, etc. given by Bodhayana, Badarayana, etc. they are not able to even comprehend some of the important words in the Vedic mantras. They do not know even today the meaning of some of the words. Okay, apparently we also can say that some of the sentences do not apparently have any meaning at all.
Right.
For example, one particular sentence in the Veda which says, Sa ta anyak ristihi shrinniva jarbari turfarit. Nobody could comprehend this particular sentence. So such sentences which occur in the various parts of the Vedas, nobody could even explain, nobody could comprehend. Apantamanyu sribala prabharma dunishimiva charumagunrujishi. Another sentence from the Yajurveda which is taken.
Mm-hmm.
In that particular sentence, they know the meaning for everything, but sripala prabharma, that particular word, the sandhi word, they could not know the meaning. So that's how there are many places.
Still not known.
No, not known. Not known.
So I think most of our understanding is in a sense contextual.
Yes,
depending on what the rest of the words are.
Yes. Not only that, in Vedas we can also find many of the sentences which apparently look contradictory. You say, the sahasrani sahasrashoye rudra adibhumyam. Adibhumyam sahasrani sahasrashoye rudra. Thousands of rudras do exist. But in the same Vedas, in one place it is said, Eka eva hi rudro na dvitiyo naste. Rudra is only one, there is no second rudra. So we have to see, which means possibly ekom bhavasya. Rudra is basically one god, one powerful energy, which actually manifested itself in many forms. Eka eva hi rudro na dvitiyo naste. There is no second rudra. But here sahasrani sahasrasho means everybody is god in the other way.
Just like Sahasra Shiv Shapusha.
Yes, exactly.
I think that is why the word and the sound is so important.
Sound
to know
is
that
important,
without knowing the meaning, that the sentence has been passed on from generation to generation intact.
Yes, yes.
That itself is a miracle.
Yeah.
Of course, Swami went on to give the various parts of the Vedas, the different khandas, as Swami said. First is Karma Kanda, then Upasana Kanda and Jnana Kanda.
Yes, yes.
And I think
actually these are three important divisions. That the whole literature, Vedic literature has been divided into.
Okay.
Whole Vedic literature has been divided broadly into these three categories. That's Karma Kanda, Upasana Kanda and Jnana Kanda. However, based on various other aspects, each Veda, Rigveda, Yajurveda, Atharvaveda, actually Vedas initially they are set with trayis, Rig, Yajur and Atharvana. Yajurveda and Samaveda. But the fourth one, Atharvana Veda, is said to be relatively later one, which got added up later. That's why Vedas are basically called trayi. Trayi, Amnaya, Shruti, Ityadeha.
Oh, only three Vedas. Okay.
But the Atharvana Veda, which Atharvana Veda or Atharva Angirasa Veda, given by Atharva and Angirasa, Angirasa. Added much later. So this of relatively recent origin.
Okay.
That's why you find in Atharvana Veda, some of the, even the part of Atharvana Veda having Upanishad, because each Veda has got, again, Brahmana, Samhita, Aranyaka, Upanishad. And even in the Atharvana Veda, you find in one branch called Shaktya Upanishad, you find Allah Upanishad. Divyani datte datte divyani datte datta ilale ilale datte datta ilale ilale varuno varuno ilale ilale varuna ilam 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 ilalo hakbar ilalo hakbar ilalo hakbar akbarasmiham akbar. It continues like that.
In which one is this, sir?
This is part of Atharvana Veda, which is a later origin, later edition. Okay, comes as a part of the branch called Shaktya Upanishad.
Okay.
So that's how you can see.
The universality of Veda which Swami talks about.
Exactly.
It's not an exaggeration, really.
So that's how the Vedas are basically three Vedas. But the one which is added much later, Atharvana Angirasa Veda. Okay, that is the Atharva Veda.
Sir, I think when we were in the school, you once gave a speech on the Vedas in Sanskrit.
Yes, yes, sir. In front of Bhagavan,
sir.
See, actually, what happened was,
we're
all sitting there, and Swami was sitting quietly on the veranda.
Okay.
And suddenly Swami asked, anybody can speak?
Okay.
Immediately after chanting of the Vedas for some time, then Swami asked, anybody would like to speak?
Mm-hmm.
Then nobody came up.
Mm.
Then I was also very hesitant.
Okay.
Then I did not stand up actually. I went closer to Swami. Mm. Swami, can I speak in Sanskrit? Then Swami immediately, Swami's face changed. As a surprise. Then Swami waited for a few seconds. Okay. Then Swami said, start. There's a moment actually. Then for about 15 minutes I spoke in Sanskrit. So I was very happy and Swami blessed.
Beautiful, sir. So it was just a spontaneous speech.
Yes. Spontaneous means as I knew what I had to decipher. But afterwards by Swami's grace, I mean, he only spoke through me.
Beautiful, sir. Beautiful. And it's such a great thing to know that there is an Allah Upanishad.
Yes. Yes.
My God.
Yes. Actually, we don't have the Upanishads. For example, even the Suktas. We don't have Rama Sukta. We don't have Krishna Sukta, etc.
Right.
Because these are the Sukta. These are the gods which are said to be post-Puranic. Puranic and post-Puranic time. But Vedic deities, we have got see, Varuna Sukta, Agni Sukta. So all these are deities which were worshipped during Vedic time. By the Vedic Aryans.
Okay.
That's why subtle difference in terms of naming of these gods and goddesses.
So Allah was also worshipped at that time.
Allah, that's what Dharmana Veda much recently added.
Okay.
That's why. So it is the latest addition to it.
Amazing. And then I think Swami, the last clip that we played last time was how even the Bhagavad Gita follows this broadly this kind of division.
Yes.
Amongst the 18 chapters, the first six are karma, the second six are bhakti, and the last six are jnana oriented.
Yes.
So I think that's where we stopped last time.
Yeah.
And that beautiful point which Swami made that the sun is same for everybody. You can't say it is a British sun, American sun, Chinese sun and Pakistani sun.
Yes.
So he says there is only one sun which is the same for all. In the same way, God is one.
Yeah, in this context, may I tell something, Sai Prakash?
Sir.
Swami has mentioned sun is the same for everybody.
Correct.
Okay, but we actually conceive differently the sunrise and sunset.
Correct.
Maybe in India at one time sunrise takes place. But same time in another country, say America, is different altogether.
Correct.
Okay, that's why in Vedas also it is mentioned, Satyam Vadishyami, Ritam Vadishyami.
Okay.
So Satya is a contextual one. Rita is a permanent truth.
Correct.
So sun neither rises nor sets. Okay, he is there. But depending upon the context, we say sunrise, sunset.
Correct.
So same thing has been actually, one of the Shanti mantras you see, Ritam Vadishyami, Satyam Vadishyami. So that is the difference between Satya and Ritam, which Swami also has referred to.
Very true, very true.
Yes.
I think in one of the discourses we went through in this series, Swami spoke about
Satyam and
Ritam.
In fact, he mentions that they are the two wings for the bird of Buddhi.
Yes.
I think that is also in one of the Upanishads, no sir, that that conceptualization of the Buddhi as a bird,
the left wing is
Ritam and the right wing is Satyam.
Yeah, the Shikshavali, Taittiriya
Upanishad. And of course, Swami very beautifully says that how one progresses from Karmakanda to Upasana to
Jnana.
And how it is actually a process which each human being goes through. And then defines each one, what is Karma? Karma is doing everything as a dedication to the Lord. And then Upasana is worshipping with Trikarna Shuddhi, and then love for love's sake. That's what Swami says is
correct.
True Upasana. And then Jnana Yoga, where you, and then Swami gives those two beautiful examples. One is the sun, of course. The other one is the wave.
Yes, where the
wave's existence is so momentary when compared to the existence of the ocean.
Yes. Mm.
And that is how you see the oneness in all creation.
Correct.
So I think we are in the point where Swami is going to talk about little further about the Bhagavad Gita and
Bhagavad Gita.
I think that is also very interesting where Swami says that Upanishads is the essence of Vedas and Bhagavad Gita is the essence of Upanishads.
Yes.
It's a very beautiful point that
this is the Bhagavad Gita is a beautiful text, a beautiful sacred text, and you can find almost, I mean, Bhagavad Gita is known to give solution for every kind of problem that one faces in his life. That's why even Mahatma Gandhi used to carry Bhagavad Gita along with him.
Correct.
Wherever he used to go. And any kind of problem, it could be spiritual problem, it could be even any mundane problems, he should refer to Bhagavad Gita and find a solution for it. Such is the sacred language. I think no other text has been translated into so many languages like Bhagavad Gita.
Interestingly, sir, we were speaking to one Dr. Ravi Shankar Polisetti,
yes,
who is who's doing a lot of research in Ayurveda.
Yes.
And he was telling many of the verses in the Bhagavad Gita and similar texts,
yes,
are actually giving cures of some maladies for cancer treatment,
some
surgical procedures.
Yes, yes.
He's saying that if you can take this word to mean the cell, if you can take this word to mean the intestine,
whole
shloka actually gives you the procedure of a medical treatment.
Okay. So that is the coded meanings that are present, right, in Bhagavad Gita or maybe in Vedas.
Right.
See, Bhagavad Gita, even Einstein, after the huge explosion that took place, he was not, that's an atom bomb, he could not explain. Somebody asked, how can you explain? How is the process? How it looks like? Then he seemed to have quoted, Divisurya Sahasrascha Bhave Jipadaddhitataha. Means thousands of suns at a time, you see that and you become blind like that. So he seemed to have quoted this particular verse from Bhagavad Gita. Yes.
And of course, Swami is very emphatically saying here, Bhagavad Gita is not a property or monopoly of Indians.
Yes. It
is a universal text which has solutions for problems of every country.
Yes. Definitely.
So shall we go to the next clip? I think this is the fourth clip we'll be playing in the discourse.
Kanuka Vedamulu Vishalamaina Anantamaina Aghadamaina Arthamulu kaligi untundayi. Vedas have very broad meaning, very deep meaning, very
aite ee
Vedamulu Puravamu Bodhinchutaku Guruvulu Chala కఠినమైన చర్యలు తీసుకునేటువంటి వారు. ఇన్ ది ఓల్డెన్ డేస్ ద ప్రిసెప్టర్స్ యూస్ టు ప్రిస్క్రైబ్ వెరీ రిగరస్ డిసిప్లిన్ ఫర్ టీచింగ్ వేద. ఆనాడు అధ్యాపకుడు ఆ కఠిన చర్యను పాటించటం చేతనే ఈ వేదము ఇంతకాలము ఈ జగత్తునందు నిలువగలిగినది. వేద హ్యాస్ బీన్ ఏబుల్ టు సర్వైవ్ అండ్ ఫ్లరిష్ ఫర్ సచ్ ఎ లాంగ్ టైమ్ బికాస్ in the olden days, preceptors did exercise very rigorous discipline and put a lot of
Grandasarupam kadu. Sruti kevalu vinikini chetane labhyamayyetvantidi.
Veda can be obtained only through hearing.
Vedam anadikalam undi guru shishya paramparanga abhriddhi avutu vachindi.
Veda was transferred from one generation to another generation, from guru to shishya through hearing.
Guru uccharinchatamu శిష్యుడు దానిని తిరిగి దానిని పాటించటము, అదే రీతిగా ఉచ్చరించటము, స్వరబద్ధముతో లయబద్ధముతో ఉచ్చరించాలి.
ప్రిసెప్టర్స్ యూస్ టు చాంట్ దిస్ వేద అకార్డింగ్ టు ది ప్రిస్క్రైబ్డ్ రూల్స్ అండ్ ది డిసైపుల్స్ యూస్ టు గెట్ టు మెమరైజ్ దోస్ థింగ్స్.
గురువులు స్వార్థరహితులు.
ద ప్రిసెప్టర్స్ ఆఫ్ దోస్ డేస్
పరిశుద్ధ హృదయులు,
were totally selfless and pure-hearted.
Paratattva bhavamunu kaliginatundi varu.
They were full of the godly divine feelings.
Prema tattvamuto koodinatundi varu.
They were full of pure love.
Vidyarthulu yokka abhivruddhi nimittamai tama jeevitamune ankitam gaavinchutu vacheatundi varu.
For the welfare and the progress of the students, they were prepared to dedicate their very lives.
Vidyarthulu kudanu aa shikshanaku kattubadi tucha palincheatundi varu.
The students of those days also were implicitly obeying the commands of their preceptors and masters.
వీరి యొక్క ఆజ్ఞను ఉల్లంఘించటం చేత అలాంటి విద్యార్థిని ఆ పరిసర ప్రాంతంలో కూడా చేర్చేటువంటి వారు కాదు.
ఎనీ స్టూడెంట్ హూ వయలేట్స్ ద రూల్స్ ఆఫ్ ద డిసిప్లిన్ వర్ నాట్ అలౌడ్ టు కమ్ ఎనీవేర్ నియర్ ది మాస్టర్స్.
అకార పంచక
దేర్ ఈస్ ఫైవ్ అకార
స్థములు కలిగినటువంటి యొక్క వ్యక్తిని ఆ గురువులు సహించేటువంటి వారు కాదు.
ది ప్రిసెప్టర్స్ నెవర్ యూస్ టు టాలరేట్ పీపుల్ హూ హ్యాడ్ దిస్ ఫైవ్ డిఫెక్ట్స్.
అకార పంచకము, అకారంతో ప్రారంభమయ్యేటువంటి అరిష్ట పంచకములు.
దీస్ ఫైవ్ ఆల్ స్టార్ట్ విత్ ది ఆల్ఫాబెట్ ఆ.
మొట్టమొదటిది అలక్ష్యం.
ద ఫస్ట్ వన్ ఈజ్ అలక్ష్యం, ఇండిఫరెన్స్.
రెండవది అవినయం.
Second one is avinayam, lack of
humility. Moodavadi ahankaram.
The third one is ahankaram.
Nalugavadi asuya.
Fourth one is asuya.
Aidode asabhyam.
The fifth one is asabhyam.
ఈ ఐదింటినీ కూడినటువంటి వాడు విద్యార్థికి ఏమాత్రం కూడా తగినటువంటి వాడు కాదు.
A person who has these five defects does not have any right to be a student at all.
మొట్టమొదటి అలక్ష్యం చేయకూడదు.
In the first instance, one should not be indifferent.
అవినీయము ప్రకటించకూడదు.
One should not show any disobedience or lack of humility.
అహంకారం అనేటువంటిది మరింత ప్రమాదమైనటువంటిది.
Ego is more dangerous.
ఈ అహంకారం తన్ను తానే మర్చిపోతుంది.
Ego makes one forget oneself.
ఇంకా అసూయ.
Then jealousy.
ఇది మహాపాప స్వరూపమైనటువంటిది.
This is the very embodiment of very great sin.
ఇంకా అసభ్యత.
అసభ్యత.
అసభ్యమనగా మానవుడిగా ఉండి సమాజమునందు ఏ విధమైనటువంటి విశిష్టమైనటువంటి యొక్క భావంతో తాను జీవించాలో దానికి విరుద్ధంగా జీవించడమే అసభ్యం.
దిస్ అసభ్యత ఆర్ ల్యాక్ ఆఫ్ కోడ్ ఈజ్ దాట్ ఇఫ్ ఆఫ్టర్ బీయింగ్ ఎ మ్యాన్ ఇఫ్ హి డస్ నాట్ కండక్ట్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ లైక్ ఎ మ్యాన్ ఫర్ ది వెల్ఫేర్ ఆఫ్ ది సొసైటీ ఇన్ విచ్ హి లివ్స్ ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ అసభ్యత.
వ్యాసుల వారి దగ్గర అనేక మంది శిష్యులు ఈ వేదాధ్యాయనం నిమిత్తమై చేరారు.
ఎ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ డిసైపుల్స్ కలెక్టెడ్ విత్ వ్యాస.
అందులో మొట్టమొదటి వాడు వైశంపాయనుడు.
ద ఫస్ట్ వన్ ఇస్ వైశంపాయన అమంగ్ దెమ్.
ఇతను భక్తి శ్రద్ధలతో వినయ విధేయతతో గురువాజ్ఞను పాటించి శిరస వహించి తన యొక్క జీవితమును సార్థకంగా గావించుకున్న వ్యక్తి.
వైశంపాయన వాజ్ వన్ హూ శాంక్టిఫైడ్ బై హిజ్ లైఫ్ బై అబ్జర్వింగ్ బై హావింగ్ డివోటెడ్ అప్రోచ్ శ్రద్ధ ఒబీడియన్స్ అండ్ హ్యూమిలిటీ and always obeyed the commands of his master.
Sadgunambulu sadbuddhi satya nirati bhakti krama siksha kartavya palanamulu nerpuna devidya vidyarthi nirvavalayu sadgunambulu
good qualities, virtues,
sadbuddhi,
good intelligence,
satya nirati,
adherence to truth,
bhakti,
devotion,
krama siksha,
discipline,
kartavya palanamulu,
discharging one's duties,
nirpunade vidya,
that alone is education which teaches all this.
Vidyarthi nirvavalayu,
student has to learn all these things.
ఈ విధంగా కూడాను గురువు దగ్గర వైశంపాయనుడు విద్యను గడిపి తాను తిరిగి ఒక వేదమును బోధించే నిమిత్తమై ఒక గురుకులమును స్థాపించాడు.
హి లర్న్డ్ వేద ఫ్రమ్ వ్యాస. వైశంపాయన లర్న్డ్ ఇట్ అబ్జర్వింగ్ ఆల్ ది క్వాలిటీస్ అండ్ హీ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్డ్ హిజ్ ఓన్ ఆశ్రమ్ ఫర్ టీచింగ్ స్టూడెంట్స్.
గురుకులం అనగా కేవలము కొన్ని అభ్యాసముల చేత కొన్ని ప్రత్యేకమైనటువంటి యొక్క నిబంధనల చేత ఏర్పడిందని భావిస్తారు. అది కాదు గురుకులము. గురుకులము అనగా గురువు ఇల్లే వారికి నిలయం.
వెన్ యు సే గురుకులం ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ యాజ్ ఇఫ్ ఏ పర్టికులర్ ప్లేస్ ఈజ్ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్డ్ అబ్జర్వింగ్ సమ్ రూల్స్ అండ్ రెగ్యులేషన్స్. ద హోమ్ ఆఫ్ ది ప్రిసెప్టర్ ఇట్సెల్ఫ్ వాజ్ ద స్కూల్.
ఆనాడు గురువు భుజించినదే శిష్యుని కూడాను ప్రసాదంగా ఇచ్చేటువంటి వారు.
ద ప్రిసెప్టర్ యూస్ టు ఆఫర్ ది సేమ్ ఫుడ్ విచ్ యూస్ టు పార్టే
రాత్రి పౌరు గురువుతోనే జీవితము గడిపేటువంటి వారు.
ద స్టూడెంట్స్ యూస్ టు లివ్ విత్ ది ప్రిసెప్టర్ డే ఇన్ అండ్ డే అవుట్.
కనుక ఆహార విహారములన్నీ కూడాను గురువుకు శిష్యులకు సమానంగానే ఉండేటువంటివి.
ఫుడ్ అండ్ హ్యాబిట్స్ వర్ కామన్ అండ్ ద సేమ్ బిట్వీన్ ద ప్రిసెప్టర్.
కనుకనే ఇరువురి భావములు కూడా ఒక్కటిగానే ఉండేటువంటివి.
Therefore there was unity and harmony in their
food. ఒక్కటే కనుక హెడ్ కూడా ఒక్కటిగానే ఉండేటువంటిది.
As food is the same, the head and the thoughts were the same.
కనుకనే ఇట్టి ఆహార విహారములతో పాటు ఆత్మతత్వాన్ని భోజించేటువంటి వారే ఆనాటి గురువులు గురుకులములు.
Those preceptors and their gurukula was such that it was based upon proper food and proper habits.
So there was a clip which I think most of that Swami was describing the scenario of the olden days Gurukula.
Yes.
And one cannot help but see the parallels between the way Swami treated not just the students but generally how Swami would interact with people around.
Exactly.
And in his own way Swami actually created that Gurukula system.
Yes, yes.
You know.
But do you remember, Prem, that whenever we have even the Snatakottara Padavidana's function, there's convocation.
Yeah.
Do you remember which mantra is being chanted?
Yes.
Yes, Shikshanusasanam. Shikshanusasanam. Last part of the Shikshavalli.
Correct.
So even during those days also, they used to have universities.
Okay.
Right. Yes. When Swami referred to this Gurukula system, it's actually the ashram of the Guru where so many people, so many disciples used to be there. They used to learn the knowledge from the Guru.
Mm-hmm.
In their own very special, unique way. Swami is also referred here. See, during those days, everything was equal.
Mm-hmm.
And you can strikingly see the difference between the present day teaching mode and also the olden days teaching mode.
Mm-hmm.
During those days, the disciples used to go to the ashram of the Guru.
Mm-hmm.
But you see nowadays, there are teachers, you will come to the school and even students also come there and there,
come to the
sharing of knowledge. Yes.
Correct.
You have private tutors also now.
And during those days also, the Vishwavidyalaya,
mm-hmm.
that is the university, had a specific number of students and what to be taught, etc. Actually, this became much more developed in the later periods.
Okay.
Okay, where so many even Vishwavidyalas, including Takshashila, etc., were developed.
Right.
Actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in those universities, so many branches of science were taught. But during those days, the very ancient time, the Vishwavidyalaya, they had the vice chancellor. For example, Dhaumya Maharshi. Mm-hmm. He was the vice chancellor in his own university, where so many people used to live, and very unique way of teaching. In Dhaumya's ashram, there was a student, there's a pupil, disciple, very humble disciple by name Aruni.
Mm-hmm.
And here the teaching and a learning method is totally different. If the disciple is very humble, as Swami has mentioned here, and having all the important qualities,
mm-hmm.
and he will be accepted, and he will be given the knowledge by the Guru. One day it happened, Dhaumya Maharshi, he started raining very heavily, and Dhaumya, in his ashram, okay, as a part of his ashram, mm-hmm. part of his university, there was a huge field, crop field,
okay. mm-hmm.
heavy downpour, and all the standing crop, okay, ready for the harvesting.
Mm.
Because a heavy rain got washed away with the waters.
Mm-hmm.
It was getting washed away. Then immediately Dhaumya Maharshi saw that and called Aruni. Aruni, come here. Go and stop that water. You see how forcefully the water is gushing and destroying the crop plants. You stop it. Then immediately, Aruni did not say, no, I cannot do it, I don't have this tool, that tool. He simply walked off to the field.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately saw, just on the wall, mm-hmm. the wall actually, which actually prevents the water mm-hmm. flow, mm-hmm. there was a huge hole and it had broken.
Okay.
And he noticed that, because of that, water was gushing from there and getting into the field. He just looked, any material, by taking which he can stop that. Okay. He could not find anything. Then what he did? He simply went there, lie down, and made himself as a block, blocking that particular hole, and water stopped. And the crop plants thus saved.
Received.
Yes. And Dhaumya was seeing all this.
Mm.
He became extremely happy. He came to the disciple, I'm very happy, I'm giving him knowledge.
You have passed the test.
Yes, passed the test. We have the example of Kamandaka, etc.
Mm-hmm.
How the blind Kamandaka became the all right, could see.
Mm-hmm.
So this basically the humility of the pupil and also how virtually, how with all good conducts and virtues is able to interact with the Guru.
Mm-hmm.
That will give him the blessings of Guru. Apart from learning the other things.
Mm.
Yes.
It's almost like the leveling effect, you know. You might be more intelligent than somebody
else. Yes, yes.
You might be lesser. But I think that Shraddha and earnestness is available for everybody.
Yes.
Anybody can express that earnestness to learn.
Yeah.
And that is what the Guru was looking for.
Yes. That's why we can compare. There is a important, very nice Subhashita. Guravaha viralaha loke shishya chittapaharakaha. Guravaha bahavaha santi shishya vittapaharakaha.
Means?
I'm sure you are able to understand. Guravaha viralaha loke shishya chittapaharakaha. Very rarely you see such gurus who can steal the heart and mind of the disciple. By their own very good way of teaching and also with the love and wisdom. Parantu guravaha bahavaha santi. So many gurus are there. Maybe today, nowadays you can say, shishya vitta apaharakaha. Who are ready to snatch away the money, vitta apaharakaha. By various means, by giving tuition or whatever it is, it may be called it. But that's how we can see the difference.
Yes. In fact, that's how Swami begins this discourse, where he says that the poor plight of education in this country.
Yes, yes.
And he says that, you know, the knowledge which does not give you money is not being sought after.
Yes.
In fact, interesting, that's what Swami would often say. The four, you know, the vows that he has taken for this avatar.
Yes, yes.
You know, dharma samsthapana, bhakta rakshana, and veda poshana and vidvat poshana.
Yes.
Those who learn that ultimate knowledge will also be protected.
Yes. That's why Swami has also told the education institution which are supposed to be the abode of Saraswati have become the abode of Lakshmi.
Correct. Then, of course, this very powerful point about the pancha arishtas.
Yes.
Right. Akara pancha arishtas.
Very beautiful, this one. And that's what, when you go through that, it just shows that that's what Swami expects from a devotee. You know, forget about the guru-sishya relationship. That is what Swami expected from each one, you know, that not showing negligence towards any of Swami's command.
Alakshyam.
Alakshyam or avinayam.
Avinayam is
disobedience. Non-humility.
Non-humility.
Yes.
More perfectly translated, it's non-humility. Avinayam.
Yes. Ahankaram.
Ahankaram. And asuya. Jealousy. And asabhyata.
Yes.
Lack of social etiquette.
Yes.
I mean, that was so perfectly exemplified by Bhagavan himself.
Yes.
The way he would dress, the way he would present himself. And it's a matter of even humility when you talk of, he would insist as long as he could to stand up and give the discourse.
Yes.
Because I think he has mentioned that is the respect, the sabha maryada.
Yes.
That is the respect he gives to the congregation there. Standing and addressing them.
Yes.
And so many things to learn from those.
And even if you see during a bhajan session, Swami would say that too much of expression in showing that devotion and excitement, Swami would not appreciate.
Even while giving a speech.
Even while giving a speech,
yeah.
You cannot have too many
movements and
gesticulations and all that.
Yes. Yes.
He would say that is disrespectful.
I remember one of my seniors, when they were giving a talk in front of Swami, he gave a brilliant talk. It was pretty flawless in his oration. But for some reason, Swami was so upset. And when he came back, you know what Swami pointed out? Swami said, why was your left eyebrow raising every time you started a sentence? Whom are you trying to indicate something to? Swami said, you should talk, you know, there should be no distractions when people see you.
Yes,
you know, what you speak should be the foremost thing. You know, your expressions, your, you know, extra movements, that should not distract the people from what you're seeing.
In fact, when we look at the videos of Swami's discourses now, and we are able to see some of the discourses where we have a close-up of Swami giving the discourse.
Yes.
So perfect. There is no action that kind of distracts you from the theme. He is always focused on the theme and is
very clearly.
Very clearly. Yes. And in fact, that is why even the people who are sitting in the front, he would want them to sit erect and move here and there, look here and there, because it can be very distracting to the speaker.
Right. So these five important qualities,
sir,
were actually very important, considered to be very important, and something like eligibility for the student to join the university during those times.
Oh, is it?
You see? Now that's why Swami also, all of us know, Swami said, end of education is character.
Correct.
So character building is very important. That is the very objective of having education.
And you can understand, you know, nowadays with the education of science and geography itself, there are so many entrances, group discussion and interview. If they're giving such a pristine knowledge and which is given in such an abstract form, there is no script, which it is just going to be given to you. It is to ensure that the person who is receiving is of that, you know, ability to retain it and pass it on to the next generation.
Yes.
It was necessary to make sure that,
you know,
he has all
when
these qualities.
It comes to ahankaram, many times Swami would pull up some of the singers.
Yes.
And Swami says, ego, 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 you are getting ego that you are singing very nicely. And
yes.
He would always, you know, caution the students and he would say, come down, come down. Why you are having so much ego? And
yes.
Anybody gets a little bit heavy on the head, he has his treatment ready, waiting for him. Because I think there are many examples where he has even cancelled programs. He has just cancelled the whole function because somebody was taking it to his head.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Because for Swami, that transformation was more important than any other thing. I mean, if the program is there or not there, if that person sings or doesn't sing, he is not bothered. He is just bothered about him.
Yes.
He is bothered about his growth.
Yes.
So that was something which we saw a lot.
Swami made a mention of even Bhagavan Veda Vyasa, whose disciple, the Vaishampayana, had his own ashram and his own Gurukula where the Yajnavalkya had learned.
Right.
When Swami referred to this particular incident, and also referring to Veda Vyasa, I am reminded actually it said Veda Vyasa, whom we refer actually, not a single person.
Oh. Okay,
yes. In every yuga, it seems, the Veda Vyasas come, they divide the Vedas and then they give to the people. So it seems so far there are 27 Veda Vyasas.
My God.
Yes. So the whatever we have, the present division of the Vedas into the four important categories, this is done by the Veda Vyasa, who is supposed to be the Krishna Dvaipayana, Badarayana, son of... Yes. So he has given somewhere... During Dwapara Yoga, that's what it said.
Okay.
Yes.
That is when he actually divided.
Yes.
Because Vedavyasa has written the Mahabharata as well.
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
It is the 27th Vedavyasa.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's
yes,
almost
yes,
like the Bodhisattvas.
Right.
They
right.
have...
Right.
Something like even Indra. Indra is a position.
Right.
Okay.
Is that? It is not an individual.
Even Brahma, for that matter.
Okay. Brahma, actually, we have a specific... one of the trinities we consider. Okay, Trimurtis. They have a specific assignment given by Goddess Mother, Mother Devi. But here in this case, you can see the Indra is a Padavi actually, is a status.
Okay.
Whoever does hundreds of these particular yaga, they are able to, they are eligible to hold that status.
Oh.
That way it is. Yes.
And this story about Vaisampayana
right.
and Yajnavalkya.
Shall we go to that? I think Swami has come to the point where... You know, Vyasa's disciple Vyasampayana is
yes,
there,
yes.
and his disciple is about to enter the scene. Maybe
okay.
we'll just go to that.
Yes,
clip.
Yes.
ఈ గురుకులమునందు యాజ్ఞవల్కుడు ప్రవేశించాడు. యాజ్ఞవల్క entered into this Gurukula, మహా మేధాశక్తి కలిగాడు. యాజ్ఞవల్క was a great intellectual, చాలా చురుకైన బుద్ధి కలిగాడు. He has sharp intellect. ఏనాటి విద్యలు ఆనాడే నేర్చి గురువులకు అప్పచెప్పేటువంటి వాడు. He was able to master each day's lesson that day itself and give back whatever he is asked.
ఇతని యొక్క తెలివితేటలకు గురువు చాలా సంతసించేటువంటి వాడు.
The preceptor used to be very happy with his disciple for his intelligence and discipline.
ఇతను గొప్ప తెలివితేటలు కలవాడని చాలా మేధాశక్తి కలవాడని కొంతవరకు 10 మంది కొంత మాట్లాడుకోవటం జరుగుతూ వచ్చింది.
ఆ ది అదర్ డిసైపుల్స్ యూస్ టు సే దట్ దిస్ యాజ్ఞవల్క్య ఈజ్ ఎన్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ ఇంటెలిజెంట్ పర్సన్ అండ్ హీ హ్యాడ్ షార్ప్
దీనితో యాజ్ఞవల్కునకు కొంత చిన్న బీజంగా అహంకారం ప్రారంభమైంది.
వెన్ పీపుల్ బిగాన్ ప్రైజింగ్ హిమ్ దిస్ డెవలప్డ్ a small sense of ego in
our class lo nakante inka goppa marks teche varu leru.
He got the feeling
that there was no other student greater than him who can score a higher mark.
Guru adigina prashnalanta kuda nenu tappa deeniki jawabu cheppetunte vaaru leru.
There was none else who can answer the preceptor's questions excepting me.
Nenu O grade teeskunnatunte vaadanu.
I am like the one who has taken O grade.
అహంకారం బయలుదేరేటప్పటికి నిజంగా అది ఓ గ్రేడ్ గానే అయిపోతుంది.
వెన్ ది ఈగో డెవలప్స్ ఇట్ బికమ్స్ అ రియల్ ఓ గ్రేడ్.
ఏమిటి ఆ ఓ గ్రేడ్ అంటే జీరో గ్రేడ్.
వాట్ ఇస్ ది రియాలిటీ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఓ గ్రేడ్? ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎ జీరో గ్రేడ్.
ఇక్కడ అహంకారం ప్రారంభమయ్యేటప్పటికి యాజ్ఞవల్కునకు కొంత అలక్ష్యం కూడాను అందులో ప్రవేశిస్తుంది.
వన్స్ ఈగో డెవలప్స్ ఇన్ యాజ్ఞవల్క ది ఇండిఫరెన్స్ ఆల్సో డెవలప్డ్ ఇన్ హిమ్.
అలక్ష్యంతో పాటు అసభ్యత కూడాను అందులో చేరుతూ వచ్చింది.
అలాంగ్ విత్ ది ఇండిఫరెన్స్ ల్యాక్ ఆఫ్ మ్యానర్స్ అండ్ నాట్ అబ్జర్వింగ్ ది కోడ్ ఆల్సో
చక్కగా గుర్తిస్తూ వచ్చాడు వైశంపాయనుడు.
వైశంపాయన క్లోజ్లీ అబ్జర్వ్డ్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ ఇన్
ఆనాటి గురువులు శిష్యులకు ప్రాణమునైనా ఇచ్చేటువంటి వారు మంచికి.
ది ప్రిసెప్టర్స్ వర్ సచ్ that they would give up their life for the welfare and for the sake of
dari tappi nadachatam aviriyanga pravartinchatamu ashraddato taanu cherinchatamu ilanti durlakshyamulu kaliginatunti varini chaala kathinanga shikshinchetunti varu.
Those preceptors used to give very severe punishment if the disciples were to stray away from the path and develop ego and lack of humility and such other bad qualities. Siksha
alaga ade vidya.
Siksha really means education.
Kevalam pustakalu chadavatam kaadu vidya.
Reading books or studying books is not
education. Guru aagyanu sirasa palinchi
obeying the command of the preceptor.
Guru aagnapinchinatvanti yokka deenini sirasa vahinchi
obeying and implementing all the commands of the preceptor.
Taanu icchetvanti yokka shikshanalanniti kudunu manasara sweekarinchatame nijamaina vidya.
Accepting every punishment given by the guru, that is true education.
Kanuka idanni nu gurtinchinatunte vaishampayanudu oka naadu daggaraku pilichi yagnavalka nivi gurukulamulo chadavadaniki adhikari kaadu tatchaname deenini vichi nivu povasu kevalam povatame kaadu నేనిచ్చిన విద్యలన్నీ కూడా నాకు తిరిగి వెనుకకి ఇచ్చి నువ్వు వెళ్లిపోవాలన్నా.
ఆఫ్టర్ అబ్జర్వింగ్ ద బిహేవియర్ ఆఫ్ యజ్ఞవల్క విచ్ వాస్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ ద రాంగ్ పాత్ వైశంపాయన కాల్డ్ హిమ్ వన్స్ అండ్ టోల్డ్ హిమ్ యు హావ్ ఫర్ఫీటెడ్ ది రైట్ టు బీ హియర్ యు కెన్ గో.
ప్రేమతో తన యొక్క విద్యలను శిష్యునికి అందించాడు. అంత కఠినమైన వాక్కులతో ఆ విద్యను తిరిగి వెనుకకు తీసుకున్నాడు.
The master gave the disciple with so much of love all the education and training. With the same rigorous harshness, he commanded him to leave the ashram and go away, and the punishment was also severe.
తన గుర్తించినటువంటి యాజ్ఞవల్కుడు తన యొక్క విద్యలన్నీ కూడాను వమనం చేశాడు.
యాజ్ఞవల్క్య, who recognized the command of his master, vomited or gave back all the education which he had learned.
ఆ వమనమును తిత్తరి పక్షుడు భుజించాడు.
This vomit was eaten up by the birds called tittari birds.
కనుకనే ఆ పక్షులు కూడాను ఈ యొక్క వేదమును ఉచ్చరించడం ప్రారంభించాయి.
After the part of
తిత్తరి పక్షుల నుండి కూడాను వచ్చినటువంటి శబ్దములు కనుకనే దీనికి తైత్తిరియోపనిషత్తు అని పెట్టారు.
This Upanishad got the name Taittiriya Upanishad because these words have come, this Veda has, this Upanishad has come from this Tittari
birds. Vedamunaku rendu vidhamainatvanti yokka sampradayam untunnayi.
There are two traditions associated with Veda.
Okati Brahma sampradayamu, rendavadi Aditya sampradayamu.
One tradition is Brahma tradition, the other is Aditya tradition.
Kanuka ee Yajnavalkudu vamanamu chesinatvanti yokka deeniki కేవలము బ్రహ్మ సాంప్రదాయం అని పేరు వచ్చింది.
వాట్ వాజ్ వామిటెడ్ బై యాజ్ఞవల్క రిలేట్స్ టు ది బ్రహ్మ ట్రెడిషన్. బ్రహ్మ సాంప్రదాయం దిస్ వన్
కృష్ణ యజుర్వేదము అన్నారు.
దిస్ హెస్ బీన్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ యాజ్ కృష్ణ యజుర్వేద.
తదుపరి యాజ్ఞవల్కుడు తన దోషాన్ని తాను చక్కగా గుర్తించి గురువు యొక్క ఆజ్ఞలు ఉల్లంఘించినటువంటి యొక్క తప్పు చేత తాను ఆహార పానీయములు మాని కఠినమైనటువంటి యొక్క సూర్యోపాసన సలుపుతూ వచ్చాడు.
యాజ్ఞవల్క్య రియలైజ్ హిజ్ మిస్టేక్స్ అండ్ హీ డిడ్ గ్రేట్ పెనన్స్ వర్షిపింగ్ లార్డ్ సన్ గివింగ్ అప్ హిస్ ఫుడ్ అండ్ డ్రింక్.
పశ్చాత్తాపమే ప్రాయశ్చిత్తము అని తాను పశ్చాత్తాపం చే ఈ విధమైన ప్రాయశ్చిత్తాన్ని అనుభవిస్తూ వచ్చాడు.
రిపెంటెన్స్ క్లీన్స్ అస్ వన్స్ సిన్స్ అండ్ ప్యూరిఫైస్ వన్ హార్ట్. బై దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ రిపెంటెన్స్ హీ వాజ్ ప్యూరిఫైడ్.
ఈ పశ్చాత్తాపం పడిన తరువాత సూర్యుడు ప్రత్యక్షమై వాజీ అనే రూపమును ధరించి, నాయన గడిచినది గడిచినది, తిరిగి ఇట్టి దోషమును నీవు ఏమాత్రం కూడాను ఆచరించరాదు, చేయకూడదు, గురుద్రోహము దైవద్రోహము మహాప్రమాదం, కనుక నీవు జాగ్రత్తగా ఉండమని తిరిగి వేదములనంతా కూడాను సూర్యుడే ఉపదేశించాడు.
రియలైజింగ్ దాట్ యాజ్ఞవల్క్య హాస్ రిపెంటెడ్ ఎనఫ్, సన్ గాడ్ అపియర్డ్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ వాజీ బర్డ్ అండ్ హి టోల్డ్ హిమ్ ఫర్గెట్ ద పాస్ట్, పాస్ట్ ఈజ్ పాస్ట్, షుడ్ నాట్ డు ఎనీథింగ్.
ఎందుకు ప్రత్యక్షమయ్యాడు సూర్యుడు?
వై డిడ్ సన్ గాడ్ అపియర్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ది బర్డ్ వాజీ?
యాజ్ఞవల్కుని యొక్క పూర్వీకులు నిరంతరము కూడాను అన్నదానము సలిపేటువంటి వారు.
ది ఏన్షియన్స్ ఆఫ్ యాజ్ఞవల్క యూస్ టు డూ ఎ లాట్ ఆఫ్,
కనుక ఆ కుటుంబములకు వాజసము అని పేరు వచ్చింది.
ఎ లాట్ ఆఫ్ చారిటీ బై గివింగ్ ఫుడ్ అండ్ దేర్ ఫార్ దట్ ఫ్యామిలీ గాట్ ఎ నేమ్ వాజసం.
ఈ వాజసం అనేటువంటి పేరు రావటం చేతనే ఆ యొక్క స్వరూపాన్ని ధరించి ఇతనికి వేదోపదేశం చేశాడు.
ఇట్ ఈస్ అన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ గాడ్ సన్ గాడ్ టుక్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ వాజీ.
దీనికి శుక్ల యజుర్వేదము అని వచ్చింది పేరు.
గేవ్ దిస్ టీచింగ్ అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ వై దిస్ పర్టికులర్ వేద ఇస్ కాల్డ్ శుక్ల యజుర్వేద.
వాజస స్కందము అని కూడా మరొక పేరు వచ్చింది.
వాజస డివిజన్ ఖండ, దట్ ఈస్ అనదర్ నేమ్ గివన్ టు దిస్.
ఆదిత్య ఖండం అని కూడా ఇంకొక పేరు వచ్చింది.
దిస్ ఆల్సో గాట్ ద నేమ్
సూర్యోపాసన చేత లభ్యమైనటువంటిది కనుకనే దీనికి ఆదిత్య స్కందము అని.
దిస్ గాట్ ద నేమ్ ఆదిత్య స్కందము బికాజ్
వాయు స్వరూపంలో ప్రత్యక్షమై బోధించడం చేతనే ఇది వాయు స్కందం అని.
దిస్ ఆల్సో హెస్ గాట్ ద నేమ్ వాయు స్కంద బికాజ్
ఈ విధంగా ఒక్కొక్క దానికి ఒక్కొక్క విధమైనటువంటి రూపంలో ధరిస్తూ వచ్చింది.
దేర్ ఆర్ దీస్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫార్మ్స్ అండ్ డిఫరెంట్ అకేషన్స్.
And Swami is giving the explanation of how you have those different types of, especially in Yajurveda, Krishna Yajurveda,
yes,
and Shukla Yajurveda.
Yes. You call it black Yajurveda and white Yajurveda.
Oh, is it?
Yes, right. Black Yajurveda.
Krishna, the word itself means
black.
Black,
yes, yes.
Isn't it, sir?
So Krishna Yajurveda is also called Taittiriya Samhita, and Shukla Yajurveda. Okay, this is also called Vajasanayi Samhita, where Vajasanayi. Vajin means horse.
Okay.
So because God, sun god came in the form of horse and gave this particular Vedic mantra to Yajnavalkya, again that's called Vajasanayi Samhita. It's called Vajin is horse.
Oh, that's a horse.
Yes, horse. Okay. Horse.
Okay.
Yes. So it's a beautiful story actually. See, if you see the history of Yajnavalkya, Yajnavalkya was a sage and philosopher of ancient India. In fact, he was one of the first philosophers in the recorded history, along with the, we also have Uddalaka, Aruni, etc. And he is the one, he was the one who expounded the doctrine of Neti Neti to describe the universal self.
Who? Yajnavalkya.
Yajnavalkya. Yes, yes. You must have heard, Swami also often said, Neti Neti Neti, when you describe the quality and also the describe the Atman itself. It's not this, it's not this, or this, neti, neti, neti. So he is the one who has given this neti concept. And his teachings are recorded in Shatapatha Brahmana and also Brihadaranyaka Upanishad.
Okay.
Okay. And actually Swami has narrated the whole story when Yajnavalkya became somewhat arrogant of his acquisition of the knowledge, and his guru Vaishampayana became a little annoyed. He became angry and then he asked him to give all the knowledge that he has earned from him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how, that's the time, as per the command of the Guru, Yajnavalkya vomited mm-hmm. to give back all the knowledge in the form of digested food. Like this is a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
Metaphor for knowledge in a simplified form, digested food, you say.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, Yajnavalkya had the capacity to make such a very tough knowledge in the Vedas in a lucid manner. That's what he gave it back in a mm-hmm. very simple way.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other disciples were ready there to pick up because it's easy level of simple lucid manner. That's why they took the form of tithiri birds. Tithiri, black partridges. Partridges,
okay.
They're called partridges.
Okay.
Tithiri birds. That's why they attained the form of these tithiri birds and they started picking up all the knowledge. Easily available, digested knowledge in a simplified form. And afterwards which, they again shared this knowledge with others. That's why the whole thing became Krishna Yajurveda.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's also called Taittiriya Samhita, Taittiriya Samhita. That's the part. But afterwards, once Yajnavalkya lost all the knowledge that he has got from his guru, he became more determined.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I will not have any human guru.
Oh.
That's how he immediately says, yes, I will go and worship Lord Surya, who is the master of Vedas.
Mm-hmm.
Why he went to Surya? Because Surya is said to be the master of Vedas. That's how, with all sincerity, with earnestness, he prayed to Lord Surya, who became very pleased with the Yajnavalkya, attained the form of Surya, and gave him this knowledge, which was not actually known to any other.
Oh.
That's why this became Shukla Yajurveda. So this Shukla Yajurveda, which was given to Yajnavalkya, he later on passed on this message. Actually, he divided all the knowledge in this part, Shukla Yajurveda, into 18 branches.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started teaching to many disciples, among them Kanva and Madhyamdina. Two disciples actually, they learnt more and more knowledge and they passed on this knowledge to the other people. That's why Kanva Shaka and Madhyamdina Shaka are said to be very famous,
okay.
even today.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, when you talk about Krishna Yajurveda, Krishna Yajurveda, which is said to be the the black Yajurveda, has got 18 shakas, but the Krishna Yajurveda has got 85 shakas, of which only 4 branches are available now, Krishna Yajurveda.
Oh.
Okay? Among them, these 4 are actually Taittiriya, Maitrayaniya, and Katha and Kapistala. Only these 4 branches are available now. But the Shukla Yajurveda,
mm-hmm.
as I said, 18 branches, out of which Kanva and Madhyamdina became very famous and knowledge is passed on because of these 2 disciples of Yajnavalkya. So that's how, the beautiful story, and actually the Yajnavalkya also, according to the story, he has got 2 wives.
Mm-hmm.
One is Maitreyi and other one is Katyayani.
Mm-hmm.
Once Maitreyi asked Yajnavalkya whether she could become immortal through the Vedic knowledge,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but through the wealth actually, to the wealth, normal mundane wealth,
mm-hmm.
Yajnavalkya says no, it's not possible. Then she asked him to teach that particular knowledge which is considered to be best on the best and also can give immortality.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it is that, this discussion and also conversation between Yajnavalkya and this, his wife Maitreyi, mm-hmm. is very elaborately given in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad.
Oh.
Basically, it's a conversation.
Okay.
Yes.
When sometime back when we did one series on birds in Prashanthi Nilayam,
mm-hmm.
in Puttaparthi, around the villages in Puttaparthi.
Yes.
There is one bird which is actually referred to as a tithiri bird.
Tithiri bird.
In
yes,
in the local this one, I think it's the, I'm just looking for that red wattled lapwing.
Okay.
It's called the tithiri bird.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, it is also called the hunter's and photograph's nightmare.
Okay.
Because if that bird is there anywhere nearby,
mm-hmm.
the moment there's a presence of a human or any danger,
mm-hmm.
it starts alerting all the birds of all species.
Yes.
Okay.
If you just look at it, I mean, it's just an extension of what,
mm-hmm.
if you have that essence of the Vedas, like that is mm-hmm. what the pre-digested wisdom
yes,
of
yes.
the Vedas, this
yes.
bird takes,
mm-hmm.
it not only has the ability to save itself, but mm-hmm. it has the ability to even save those around it.
Yes.
That I don't know, this, most of what these stories of Swami narrates and all these Vedic stories, I think there's a very profound meaning in it.
Yes.
No, even this thing when Swami said these are the 5 mistakes a student should not have, In the story of Yajnavalkya, so beautifully Swami is saying how one led to the other.
Yes,
how it started with Ahankara and that led to, you know, him having exactly. a kind of, you know, indifference in attitude, and that led to him not behaving in the right manner in the society. How one leads to the other.
Actually, according to the scripture, Yajnavalkya had a bit of arrogancy in terms of he was very much after adding few mantras to Yajurveda in the end of Yajurveda.
Okay.
For which his guru, Vaishampayana, was not ready for it. And there was a conversation and misunderstanding, and also some kind of verbal battle between these two great scholars. Because of which the guru became annoyed and also became a bit angry on his own disciple and asked him to give back the knowledge.
It is a story and it has a lot of significance. But, you know, looking at the story now, I think it is all divine plan. Otherwise, you would not have had Shukla Yajurveda.
Yes.
The whole branch of Shukla Yajurveda had to come out this way. Now, in daily life, at that point of time when his guru had asked him to give back all the knowledge, if Yajnavalkya had just given up and he would say, that's it with Vedas, we would have never had Shukla Yajurveda. You can look at it in an angle where God also allowed it to happen to a person like Yajnavalkya, who had the determination. So that
had the ability to give out the knowledge first,
give up the knowledge,
and then go and seek it from
God.
You know, God himself. You know, so many hidden meanings, you know, in the sense. See, Swami gave a description of what an ideal student is. And somebody like Vyasampayana has taken Yajnavalkya, definitely he was the one with all those qualities.
Exactly.
So it shows that these flaws or these mistakes in man can come at any point.
Exactly.
If it doesn't, if you don't possess it now, it doesn't mean that it's never going to come and trouble you. So it's always important to be cautious.
Yes, it may be in hidden form and suddenly contextually it may come out.
Contextually it comes out. So it's very important to be.
And another thing which comes out here is, as you mentioned, there are faults, they may have shortcomings. But sukha dukke samay kritva, what the Bhagavad Gita says, now when this episode happened, Yajnavalkya did not give up.
Right.
Yes, he understood his fault, but he went further. Now the beauty is, notwithstanding happiness or sorrow, if you persist with your nature, there is that beautiful story of the sage trying to save the scorpion. Sage is having bath, and every time he saves the scorpion and puts it on the bank, it stings him. So they are wondering, why are you doing this again and again? He said, it's the scorpion's nature to sting me. It's my nature to save it, to protect it. Similarly here, it is the nature and the, you know, the sincerity of a disciple, that's his nature, to seek knowledge.
Yes. Very
true. And he has not given up his nature, in spite of all the drawbacks, in spite of, I would say, one of the most, unnerving experiences, like you are asked to give back all the knowledge that you had. So that's something.
Exactly, because if you look at it, he kind of related himself to that ability to seek knowledge or the desire to seek knowledge than that flaw which he made.
That's right.
Yes,
that's right.
Just reminded one of our juniors, he was saying that at one point he asked Swami, that Swami, so many desires keep coming. Now how to control them? And Swami said, see, the most important thing is separation.
Okay.
So this boy thought that Swami is using the wrong word, and he said, Swami, do you mean suppression? Do you mean that you have to suppress the desires? Swami said, not suppression, separation. You should know that you are not the desire.
Yes.
You should know that the desire is not your nature. And you know, the disciple was able to say that, no, this was not my nature. It was just a mistake which I made. I can correct it, and I can seek something higher. He has done a mistake in a level, and he is managed to raise himself to the level where he could, you know, get the knowledge from Surya himself.
Beautiful. So that's what a Vedic story like this gives, so many angles and so many meanings.
So I think we are close to our time now, sir. Thank you so much.
Yes.
I think there are not enough words in which we can express our gratitude to you for the knowledge which you have shared with us, and I'm sure dear listeners, you would have found this program also very insightful.
Before we conclude, Swami has mentioned about the important thing, how Vedic wisdom remained intact even today.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's important because there are, during those days, even nowadays also we have the various systems of learning. What we chant, actually the plain chanting is said to be Samhita Patha.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from that, even during those days, people used to practice, all the disciples used to practice with all their earnestness. Other types of learning, Samhita Patha, then Pada Patha, Jata Patha, Gana Patha, Krama Patha, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Wherein the repetition of the words back and forth takes place. One small example possible I can give you. When you say Gana Nantva Ganapatim,
mm-hmm.
it is Gana Nantva Ganapatigum Havamahe Kavim Kavinam. It is plain Samhita Patha.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment you split the whole sentence into different words, it becomes Pada Patha. Gana Nam Tva Ganapatigum Havamahe Kavim Kavinam Pada Patha. Then we have got Krama Patha. Gana Nam Tva Tva Ganapatim Ganapatikum Havamahe, it becomes Krama Patha. Then we have Jata Patha. Then finally we got Gana Patha. Whereas the sequence goes 1, 2, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3. The sequence of the words.
Mm-hmm.
So because of all these things, we have all the Vedic mantras remaining intact in terms of their intonations.
Oh.
There's no change. Whatever they used to.
This is how they were taught, sir.
They were taught. Yes,
mm.
because Swami has mentioned during those days, people, those pupils, all the students, the shishyas used to repeat the mantras and also various methods of learning. Because of these things only, no intonation fault has occurred even after so many thousands of years. Today, we are chanting the same thing. So these five important lessons, type of lessons.
I think here also in the mandir they chant the Ganapata of.
Yes,
Gana.
Yes, we often chant Ganapata. It's actually method. Method of learning, method of chanting.
Correct.
It can be applied to any mantras actually.
Can you just chant, sir, a little
okay,
bit?
Maybe
of Rudram.
Rudram, or we also have the very popular one. That is Karoti Rupani.
Yes.
Karoti Rupani, Juhoti Rupai, Revai, Nakum. But when we say this is a small part in that particular mantra, Samhita Patha. But Gana Patha, Karoti Rupani, Rupani Karoti, Karoti Rupani, Juhoti, Juhoti, Rupani Karoti, Karoti, Rupani Juhoti, Rupani Juhoti, Juhoti, Rupani, Rupani Juhoti, Rupai, Rupai Juhoti, Rupani, Rupani Juhoti, Rupai, Juhoti, Rupai, Rupai Juhoti, Juhoti, Rupai, Revaiva, Rupai Juhoti, Juhoti, Rupai, Reva, Rupai, Revaiva, Rupai, Rupai, Revaina, Mena, Meva, Rupai, Rupai, Revaina, Mena, it goes on like that. So you can see back and forth repetition of the words, which actually sounds very good to hear. At the same time, all the intonations remain intact because of these five important lessons.
I think this itself will improve the memory also. Your ability to say, remember what you've chanted and the numbering and all that.
Yes.
Thank you so much, sir.
And welcome, sir.
Dear listeners, it is a pleasure to bring you this program because we learn so much in the process of bringing this for you. So we thank you all for joining us here, and we thank Swami for giving us this opportunity. With humility and love, we offer this humble effort of us at Swami's Lotus Feet. On behalf of all of you, I thank Praveena sir from the High Secondary School for joining us. In a short while, you'll be joined by Brother Bishu with the last program of the day, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.